Hey, it's so good to be in God's house this morning. Amen. I'm very excited to be with you this morning and having this opportunity to share God's word. But before I get started, I just want to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, it is truly an opportunity that you have blessed us with, you know, to live in a country where we can freely choose to do so. God, I just ask that you be with those that are not here this morning, that may be traveling, those that may have just decided to stay in bed. God, I just pray that you speak to them this week through relationships that you have put, you know, people that you have put in their lives, Lord, and allow them to see your face. God, to seek you in a new way. God, we just ask that you be with us this morning as your word is shared. Lord, allow me to do so in a way that is understandable and just keep myself out of the equation. And Lord, not just be a word to hear, but one that is applied. We just love you and thank you for all that you do. And thank you so much for first loving us. In your name I pray, amen. You know, this morning as we were preparing, Cody and I got into my office, which is, you know, if any of you have poked your head in there and looked, it's always super clean and very roomy, okay? But we're standing there, and Nolan, my grandson, was in there, and he's like, what are you guys doing, you know? Not quite that clear. I don't know exactly what he said, but he wanted to know, and I said, well, we're going to be praying. So he came in and joined hands with us and then expressed who had the bigger hands. And you know, as we were praying, I guess we were going too long, but, you know, he said, how long are you guys going to pray? Well, you know, we can't pray enough, amen? You know, and we live in a time that, guess what? The Bible does not say anywhere in it that it's going to get better. It doesn't say that things are going to work out. It says actually the opposite. So, you know, I was thankful for that opportunity that we had to show the importance of prayer, even though he didn't understand it. I just am thankful that he had that, and I thought I would share that with you this morning. You know, I am excited. You know, this time of year, you know, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Christ, it's an opportunity as Christians that we have like none other during a year, right? I mean, I want to share a little something. Like when I was younger, you know, we did not attend church regularly. We pretty much completely quit going when I was about first grade. And I can still remember, though, Christmas, you know, having that feeling like there was something, like there was something more. Like, as you see the specials on TV, you hear, you know, Charlie Brown and them saying what they said, you know, from God's word. It made me think. But you know, this time and even this day, Christmas, can be so murky today, right? And what this world wants you to see as importance and what truly is important. And you know, as I was younger, I would love to say it was about this baby that was born, but it was not. For me as a child, it was first and foremost about receiving gifts, you know. But we received those gifts from not just my immediate family, my mom and dad, or my brothers, because you know how kids are. They wrap things that, you know, you might not play with as much anymore, and you want to take part in that giving of a gift too. So you go and you wrap that, and you're super excited about sharing that. You know, that's where Faith is. She's in that stage right now where she wraps up everything. And I said, honey, you know, you don't need to wrap up all your gifts, but Dad, these are gifts that I don't play with. Or these are toys that I don't play with, so I'm going to give them to you and Mom and Allie. I'm like, okay. It's just, you know, luckily, you know, she has that love in her heart. No, but You know, for her, she wants to be able to have that good feeling that you get from sharing that. And there's nothing wrong with sharing of a gift or receiving. But you know, for me, that's truly when I was a child, that's what it was about. But also, it was about that one time a year that we also went and spent time with extended family. You know, and family can be so important, amen? I mean, in those tough times, in those difficult times that we've been through, family can be a very good support. And then there's other times where, even though it's one day a year, you're pretending like you like them. Okay, you know, I say that, and unfortunately, you know, I would love to say that's a complete joke, that I was just kidding, but unfortunately, when I was younger, you know, that time of Christmas, the excitement from presents, the happiness to have a meal that wasn't the norm, you know, to have something besides, you know, meatloaf or something like that, that was exciting for me. To be able to go somewhere other than, you know, Odessa or Bait City, that was exciting to me. Yeah, we didn't go anywhere too exotic. It was Raytown. But it was different, you know, and it was exciting. But I also had that feeling that, you know, which it should have been something that gave me joy in seeing my family that I didn't have the opportunity to see very often. That should have been something that excited me, but it never did. Because, see, my family, my immediate family, were treated totally different by extended family. And it was a time of the year where I felt like less, okay? I felt like there was something wrong with me because of the way we were treated. And I was very reluctant to share this with you this morning, but I know there's others of you out there that this time isn't always a joyous occasion. You know, because when we put others into the equation, guess what? They're not perfect either, right? And I can remember still through all those years and every year having that excitement that this year was going to be different. That this year, there was going to be a change. And never did that happen. But every year, as I got older, I remember praying to God each and every evening that my mom and dad would know how much we love them and how important they are. And you know what? I know God heard those prayers. And so, wherever you may be in this, as we get closer to this Christmas day, to this day in which we celebrate the birth of our Savior, whether you're in a super happy place or you're in a place that is one of heartache and despair, know that Christ is the reason that we celebrate. You know, it is hard not to be upset if we've lost someone that is very close to us. Amen? I mean, especially at these times of the year, we were reminded of all those wonderful times that we had to spend with them. But yet, what always got me through in the end was my reaching out to God. Even though I didn't even know it at the time of how important that would be. You know, we allow this day to become, we allow what this day has become to this world dictate also what it means to us. You know, we get caught up in the presence. We get caught up in, you know, being who our family wants to be and going here and going there, and we're so busy, are we not? We rarely take the opportunity to just to sit in God's presence and be thankful for the miracle that is in Jesus. So this morning, before I dig into Isaiah 9:7, I also want to recap what Brother Devin shared with us last week, last Sunday. So I think he had 4 or 5 verses, I think it was, and then I have 1 this morning. So who talks more? I don't know. But no, just to recap, you know, there are some important things that we can learn and we can take from the fact of Jesus arriving. Okay, so if you weren't here this morning, I'll try to go slow where you have the opportunity. There is a spot in your bulletin where you can jot down some notes. Or if you're like me, you never can do that quick enough. Just remember that each and every one of these messages that are shared on Sunday morning are also on our website. So you can go back at any time and listen to it. The first point and key point that Brother Devin made was last week was the arrival of Jesus is a tale of triumph. The triumph of grace begins in the place of utter defeat. You know, that arrival of Jesus is a tale of triumph. It was by God's grace that Jesus arrived. The second thing that he covered was the arrival of Jesus is the dawn of joy. And again, you know, I'm not saying the holiday season. I'm not saying every time you're around all of your family and friends is the dawn of joy. It's centered and founded on Christ alone. The arrival of Jesus is the defeat of darkness, which liberates God's people and destroys the enemy of God's people. And then the fourth one was the arrival of Jesus is the incarnation of God. Jesus' salvation came from a cradle. So this morning, I will be reading from Isaiah 9:7. And I'm going to go ahead and read that for us. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So in reading of God's word there, the fifth point that I would like to make in regards to the arrival of Jesus is this: the establishment of an everlasting kingdom. You know, this is not one that is dictated or decided by you or me. As Christ arrived, that kingdom was established, a kingdom that would be everlasting, not dependent on this or that. 7a is what I call it. I don't know if you can really break up verses like that. For me, it helps, so bear with me. At the beginning there, it says, of the increase of verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Because of Jesus, it is established, one that will be forever. Another thing that we take from that kingdom that is established, that everlasting kingdom, is this: that Jesus' kingdom of peace is the fulfillment of God's covenant with David. All right, that was a promise that God made to David. As we look in this, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. If we look back at 2 Samuel 7:12, that's 2 Samuel 7:12. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. It was a guarantee. God's covenant with David was a guarantee that his purpose to bring to mankind a righteous king would surely be fulfilled. And this was not something that was thrown together last second. God had a plan. He had a purpose in this. And it wasn't contingent upon anyone else except the arrival of God the Son. Because see, as Jesus arrived, he was as much God as he was man. Amen? God made that covenant, that promise to David. And this, in the arrival of Jesus' birth, that is a fulfillment of that. So we look on down at 2 Samuel 7:14. It says this, I will be his father and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. Jesus' birth is a fulfillment of God's plan of extending his grace to mankind. You know, through that, the sacrifice, death on the cross. But that's not where it ended, was it? Because on the third day, he rose. You know, for most people, that those are the two times of the year of those that are not regular attenders of church service would be Christmas and Easter, right? For my family, it was just Christmas. But we celebrate those two because of the birth and because of the resurrection. But also, I believe the reason why Christmas is so much easier to celebrate, non-threatening, is because there's nothing scary about a baby, is there? When we think of Christ, when we think of God as a baby in a manger, and we think of the gift that he gives, because again, we like gifts, right? That's not threatening. That's not scary. When we look at it that way, we think, well, there's no way that he wouldn't allow this to happen. But we're going to learn more from that. Because of his perfection, because of his goodness, he is, and he's established as a kingdom, but he is perfect in doing so, in establishing. You know, when we think of, like I said, in Isaiah 9:7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace. You know, when you think of government, we think of perfection, don't we? Yes, right now, like, there's just, every time I turn on the news, I'm like, yes! I'm so thankful that I live in a country that is ran by people who are perfect. No, we don't think that. Is it ever going to be perfect? No. Is it better than what it could be? Yes. Am I thankful that I live in this country? Absolutely. But if we look at any one institute of this world and think perfection, we are setting ourselves up for failure. But when we look at, when we hear this and we talk about the kingdom in which Christ is set up, we don't look at that as in failure. We can't. We don't compare it the same way that we do with things of this world. Because as we compare things of God to that of man, there is no comparison. Because of that everlasting kingdom, there's something that God speaks on here in Isaiah 9 that also talks about that kingdom. And that is Jesus' kingdom of peace is a perfect kingdom. You know, I've hit on that point a few times, but one of righteousness. You know, we hear that word a lot in church, don't we? Righteous, to be righteous. What's it mean? What's it mean to be righteous? Anyone? Huh? Something I'm not? You and me both. You know, but being right by God. We hear things like this during this time of year. 'Tis the reason for the season, right? Have you heard that yet this year? But what does this actually mean to us? You know, he is perfect and is the only one capable of taking our place for the sin of mankind. Amen? Because of that, the way in which he entered this world, of a virgin, by God's plan, by God's grace to each and every one of you. For myself, you know, he lived that perfect life. But he also judges righteously. And see, that's the part that is non-threatening about a baby, right? For each and every one of you that are parents, when you first bring your child home, you don't walk into that doorway to your house or apartment or wherever it is that you live and they go, that baby doesn't go, whoa, mother, please clean this room before you set me down. They don't look around and tell you, maybe your child should, I don't know. I've seen people hit other people, so I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe God wanted you to hear that this morning. No, but, you know, like, a baby does not judge. As long as a baby is receiving what it needs, we do that. So, for us, as believers and non-believers, we look at that as non-threatening because of so many different things. But to know that Christ judges righteously, that if it says in his word that it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not for you to determine if it's wrong or not. If we accept the gift that was given through his birth, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, then we also accept that he is righteous, that he is right by God. Amen? He's the perfect judge to sit on the throne. Because of that kingdom, he is Lord of lords. Another thing that we take from this word is not only is he one that is righteous, but he's one of justice. He is just, he is fair, actually above and beyond. If we were to receive just what we deserved, would a single one of us ever have the opportunity to enter heaven? No. You know, it doesn't matter how many lifetimes we were given to live, we wouldn't be able to live a single one of them perfectly. We are incapable of that. Our hearts don't allow it. Because just like earlier I said with a baby, you know, they don't come home and tell you what to do, but a baby does come home, tell you what it wants. And there is nobody else that's as important as what that child wants. And they will let you know. You know, that's the heart in which we have. You know, if that was of our heart is known to others, would be excited about that? Probably not. Because each and every one of us have a heart of a sinner. Each and every one of us are not perfect. And this next and last point that I take from Isaiah 9:7 is this. It is one of his doing. See, for the longest time in my life, everything, like when I was younger and going to those Christmases with my grandparents, I wanted my family to be happy. I wanted to be that person that made that day good. You know, some of you might be that person too, that always wants things to work out, wants everyone to be happy. That's not what his word says. That's not what his word says our days are to be here, right? But because of it being from his doing, as it says in the ending of verse 7, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That kingdom is established. That kingdom is perfect. Okay, it is watched over by righteousness and justice because of him. As believers, that's why we're here. That's why we celebrate. Amen? He will see it through. This is actually what gives me the most hope, because I know that if I watch myself long enough, I'm going to let myself down. I don't even mean to. Faith and I have been playing video games together lately. She's enjoying that. And I've realized that as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot worse. I was never good, but it's gotten like things happen, and then I stop and have to think, like, what just, oh, okay. And she's at that moment where she's just enjoying it, so she has no idea what she's doing, but it's just fun. It's an opportunity. But, you know, it's like, if I rely on myself, I'm going to fail. You know, sometimes she's like, Dad, here, take the controller and do this. And as long as it works out, she's super happy. Most of the time it doesn't. Again, going back to Dad's not that good. She's like, Dad, what are you? And she blames me. The fact is like as we give God our life, as we accept that baby in a manger, he doesn't stay that baby in a manger. He became a man who lived a perfect life, and he gave that life so that you may have life. That's who he is. So his love, his mercy, his righteousness, him being a just God, these are all the things that we must hold on to. You know, this Christmas season, use every opportunity. You know, you're going to have those opportunities to see family you don't get to see, right? That's not a bad thing. Use those opportunities to share not the baby in a manger, but the risen King. Go into those knowing that, you know what? People are going to say stupid things and are not going to be who I want them to be in my life, but Christ is. The hope that I have comes through who he is. When we do that, it opens up a completely new outlook on things. So this Christmas season, use every opportunity you have to share the Lord of the Lords as we celebrate his birth. And I'm going to challenge you, if you're here this morning and all you see is Christ as that baby, all you see is this opportunity, this time of year as being something of presence, of hanging out with family, of a different meal, you're missing so much. And here in a little bit, we're going to sing, and then here at the end, we'll have that opportunity. I would encourage you guys, you don't have to come up and tell me anything. Because guess what? Christ knows. God knows what's going on. But if you want someone to pray for you, because I know God will hear. He listens. Not that I have some special prayer, because I don't. Each and every one of us have that means to go to him. That's my promise that I can make to you, that if you come here, I promise that we'll lift that up to him. But use those opportunities, because this kingdom is a perfect kingdom, but it's one that's growing too. It's one that's going to continue. And that also, by part, is through us in sharing of who he is to others. So as the choir comes forward, before they start up here, I just want to pray. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you for your son. I thank you so much for the plan in which you have for each and every one of us. God, I just lift up anyone that's here this morning that's questioning their importance, that's questioning who they are. Let them see who they are in you. Because that's the only thing that matters, is who we are in Christ, who we are in this kingdom that you have established. Lord, I again thank you for being in your house this morning, and I'm thankful so much for you first loving us. In your name I pray, amen.